Good morning. Hopefully you were able to get a handout. We will be looking at an old story, a story that we've probably heard many times in Bible class. But I tell you, every time I read God's Word, I get something new out of it. This is the parable of the sower. A sower in somebody that plants seeds. You know, I know many of you have grown up in farm country. I've heard plenty of stories of your past. I know Dick has grown up in Nebraska, Dick and Peggy, and Dick's dad was a farmer. I know many of you have lived on farms in the past. Even if you've planted gardens, you know, you've sown seeds. But this is a great parable that Jesus taught to his followers. And I'd like to start in verse 3. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. That's that. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear, let him hear." He goes on to explain the parable later on in the chapter, going over to verse 18. And Jesus will explain this parable, and I find it interesting. You would think that verses 3 through 9 would be good enough. You would think. But he goes on to explain it, and they needed an explanation of this. In verse 18 he says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away from what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received word among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That is a tremendous parable. And we're going to look at this today and see what Jesus was talking about and how it applies to our life. The first example he said was the seed that fell by the wayside, by the side of the road. And we saw that the birds came and devoured it. These people, many of them, they hear the word. The word is preached. every day out in the world. People have exposure to God's Word. I think you'd have to look pretty hard, far and wide, to find somebody that hasn't heard of Christianity. But these are people that they just don't care about it. They don't care. They're not looking for salvation. They're not looking for that which is being preached. Many times these people have preconceived ideas about religion. And so when they hear the Word of God, it goes in one ear and out the other because they've already got their mind made up about religion. Maybe due to their parents, maybe the way they were raised in ex-religion, they've already got a preconceived idea about religion due to faulty teaching. Maybe the media. Look at the media in today's day and age. It's hard to turn on the TV without, whenever they portray Christians, they're either some lunatic fanatic or just a bumbling idiot. And the media portrays Christianity a lot of times that way. And so there's a lot of times the Word is being preached, but it's falling on the wayside. It's falling on people that don't have an interest. And immediately the birds are just eating it up and it's gone. It goes in one ear and out the other. Another example we see in earlier in Matthew from the explaining of the parable, we see in Matthew 13, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see." They see the stuff, but they don't get it. "And hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.'" There's a lot of people that are like that. And I used to get frustrated with myself. Why can't I say the right things? Sometimes they don't want to hear the right things. Another example Jesus used was the seed that fell on stony places. Being in Las Vegas, we understand if we're trying to plant something in the backyard, we've got wonderful topsoil. It's about that deep. And then you start hitting the rocks and the caliche. I mean, it's horrible to try. I mean, you have to literally transform the soil to plant something here. When it falls on the stony places, Jesus says those people, it takes off. They receive it with great joy. I've seen Christian after Christian or person after person do this. They will hear the Word of God. Maybe they even get to the point of being baptized. They are on fire. And they're not with you a few months later. They take off like they're shot out of a cannon. All they want to do is serve God. And a short time later, where has so-and-so been? They've lost interest. They received it with great joy, but there was no root. They didn't give themselves time to mature in the Word. The tribulation and persecution that Jesus talked about comes into play. If you don't have a root, if you don't have that foundation, you hear those good things of the gospel, and it's exciting, and you get on fire. But then persecution or tribulation, or you burn out. A lot of people want to run 100 meter dash in track. Very few people want to do the marathons. Anybody can get up and run a little bit. But having that, is stick-to-itiveness a word? I've used it all my life. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. They don't have the stick-to-itiveness, that endurance, that dedication. And how you get that dedication is developing that foundation. Romans 10:17, Paul tells the Christians in Rome, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we're putting, the word of God and studying the word of God and getting it into our lives, we're going to develop that foundation. That root is going to be able to take root and advance and grow, and not just spring up and die away. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this is the last letter Paul would write to his beloved Timothy, and the verse says, be diligent. I love the King James where it says, study to show yourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. To where you hear the word and you're able to discern it. You can divide that word and understand what it means. Jesus had said, they hear, but they don't understand. The only way we're going to mature and develop that root is through study. I wish we could put the tape recorder of James Earl Jones reading the Bible under our pillow at night and get knowledge that way. That would be great. Wish we could take a supplement, you know, take our multivitamin and a gospel supplement every day. And it comes by opening the Word of God. It comes by effort. It comes by time and desire. And that's how you develop the root. That's how you develop that foundation. 2 Peter 1:5, Peter, the Apostle Peter, says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. He wants us to grow in the Word of God. And that's how you do it, is through the study of God's Word. The third example we see is the seed that fell among the thorns. And I bet you every one of us have been there. The cares of the world all around you, distracting you. Look at the cares of the world that we face every day. Every day. We have to make a living. We have to go to work. I don't know about you. I can't get groceries on my good looks. In fact, I'd owe them groceries if I went in. They'd say, you owe me some whatever. We have to go to work and support ourselves. We have to deal with the world. Every one of you has faced a trial or a tribulation, a health scare, not just a scare, maybe a health concern that you've had to deal with. Every one of us have maybe had to deal with the loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a friend, grandparents, cares of the world. If we focus on that, it can just choke us out. And that takes the priority. And pretty soon, that's what we're focused on. Got a splinter in my finger the other day, talking about thorns. Got a splinter. I don't know. While I was doing stuff, every time I'd brush that against something, I couldn't see it. But it was there. And I'd brush it up against something, brush it against my pants, grab something. And I could feel it in there. And my mind's on that. It distracts you. The thorns, the cares of this world can surround you and just choke you out. What if and you start focusing on that. Jesus describes it and compares it to the deceitfulness of riches. Look what I've done. I don't need any earthly issues. I can afford this. I've got the world by the tail. And it's easy to put God on the back burner if you're tearing it up in the world. I don't need anybody for anything. It's easy to translate into Christ, into religion, into God's word. Being suspicious, the deceitfulness of riches. People, you know, why do people want me to do this? What's in it for them? The deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and it chokes out that seed that's trying to grow, the seed that's trying to take root. But the thorns around it are getting all the nutrients and it just chokes out that plant. 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul is writing to Timothy, and these are some sad verses to me. It's people that had served Paul. It's people that had been Christians. And for whatever reason, they've abandoned the service of God, the service to Paul. He says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. At one time, he was of service to Paul, was of service to the kingdom. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We've got to endure those cares of the world. We've got to endure the world itself and the people in it. And last is the good ground. The good ground is described by Jesus as he who hears and understands. Not just the people that hear but don't, they hear but they don't hear. They see but they don't see. They bear fruit and they produce. This is the example of what we need to be. Those who hear and understand. Jesus said in the Great Commission, at the end of his time here on earth before he would ascend back into heaven, he told the people in Matthew 28, starting verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of these people, not just people like you, but of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Good soil produces fruit. The seed that falls on that good soil produces. The people that Jesus had taught, he told them, you go and teach. You go and teach others. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This has been taking place for over 2,000 years. The word of God has been proclaimed to others, and then they, in turn, proclaim it to others. Somebody proclaimed it to you. And hopefully, you are proclaiming it to somebody else. That message was simple. Jesus spoke in a lot of parables so he could explain and they could put it in terms that they could understand. The question is, what kind of soil are we? Are we that soil that's by the wayside? Are we the stony ground? Among the thorns, or are we the good ground? I know which one we usually want to be. We want to be that good soil. And that's up to us. The plan of salvation is simple. We're supposed to be good soil which produces and is fruitful. The plan of salvation to teach others is simple. You have to hear the Word of God first. People are not going to turn to Christ if they've never heard of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Then they have to believe. They have to believe that. They have to confess that belief. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father in heaven. We have to repent. There's no way getting around repentance. Can't keep doing the same sinful things after you know that they're wrong. Jesus said, Luke 13, verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And we have to be baptized. Mark 16:16, those who are who believe and are baptized will be saved. Believe and are baptized. And then once we have been baptized, once we are in Christ, and that's where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, is in the water of baptism. Some of you may not be a Christian today. Some of you might be to the point you've heard the Word of God and you believe. You need to confess that belief to others. You need to repent of your old sins. Turn from that. Start living the way Christ wants you to live. Be baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not a Christian. Those of us that have been baptized, we're not safe at third. It's not, oh, I've gotten dunked. I'm good. I'm good to go. You've got to remain faithful. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. This applies to every one of us in here, those who are Christians and those who haven't been Christians yet. If you're not a Christian, I know you've heard the Word of God. You have a choice whether to believe or not. You have a choice to repent from your sins. Now the choice is, are you going to be baptized or not? Those of us that are Christians, that have done these things, we still have to remain faithful. We can't let the cares of the world choke us out. We can't let the deceitfulness of riches come and snatch that root away. We need to be fruitful and produce. If you need to respond to the invitation today, I urge you to come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song.